You're listening to the Atlanta Dream Center Church podcast. We hope that today's message edifies and encourages you to live transformed by Jesus, grow in your faith, and walk in your God dreams.
Today, we're talking about transformation. Now, I'm going to say what I said in the beginning again. This church is not about sermons. It is not about worship. It's about the person next to you. I need you to look at that person. Look at them. Don't worry. You won't fall in love, all right? Hopefully, if you're married, you will. Maybe you'll fall back in love. I want you to say, it's time to get transformed. Just tell them that. It's time to get transformed. Come on, tell them. Listen, I get it. We're on the stage. We're up here. We got lights on. But guys, church is about one another. And we're in the middle of a series. And this series has been about investing. And we are talking about today, investing in your God dreams. How many of you guys know God has a purpose for your life? How many of you guys believe that? Anyone in here? A few of us. How many of you guys want to know what that dream is? Anyone in here want to know God? I want you to do something great. And I'm going to tell you right now, God's purpose for you is greater than you could ever imagine. I mean it. And I'm not talking about, because what we're going to hit on today and what I'm going to recap about last week is the first part, though, about walking out what God has for you is transformation. And he has to change you. And we talked about this last week, man. We said, man, you who you were born to be as you are, the person that you came into this earth as, the Lord says, will not make it. He says, that's the one who will not enter in. He tells this guy, Nicodemus, he says, man, if you want to enter into my kingdom, you got to be born again. Look to your neighbor to say, it's not going to work unless you're born again. Go ahead and tell him. Now listen, born again, we've talked about this a little bit last week. Nicodemus says this. He says, gross, I don't want to do that. You know, I'm supposed to go back to my mother's womb. Jesus says, no, you got to be born of the Spirit. And I want to just recap for a second because we're going to talk about being brand new today. We're going to talk about, man, the new life that God has for you, that he has something great for you. And we're going to talk about how to walk this thing out and the rewards we got. But let me just go over last week because you need to hear it because it's not just getting brand new. It's also about dying. So I just want to go over a few verses we went over last week. Mark 8, verse 34. Check this out. God talks to us. He calls us to walk out this life as if we're dead and we're supposed to die daily. Mark 8, 34. And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and he said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And we talked about on Wednesday night, where's my Wednesday night crew at? Where's my Wednesday night crew? What's up, y'all? What's up, my dogs? Yeah, what's up? The rest of y'all don't even know what you're missing out on, all right? We kind of piggybacked on this a little bit. We went into Galatians 5, 16 through 26, and I'm flying. So if you're taking notes, it's Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read this real quick to you. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Everyone look at one another and say, walk in the Spirit. Go ahead and tell the person next to you. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. How many of you guys have tried to stop sinning? Anyone in here try to stop sinning? You found yourself still in it. You guys already been in that experience, man? He says, listen, your flesh and your spirit, they're contradictory to one another. That's why you're having that problem. But he says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now this is what he says in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and the like. I like that he says, and the like, as in let your imagination go with that. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. How many of you guys want to have more love in your life? Anyone in here? He says it's joy. How many of you guys want more joy in this house? Anyone? Just a few of us? Hey, listen, joy is really good, all right? If you didn't raise your hand, I promise you, man, it's really good. He says, man, it's long-suffering and peace, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. Y'all, this scripture right here says something pretty clear. You have to die to your flesh and walk in the Spirit. And he says, this is what happens when you walk in the flesh, man. You're a jerk. Can I just put it that way? Can I just sum up Galatians 5 that way? You're a jerk. All right? It says this in scriptures, man. If you love one another and you lay your life down for one another, you can't fulfill the way of the flesh. And so I'm going to read this. I read this because I want to just point a few things out about last week, about dying to your flesh. Dying to your flesh, and we talked about this, a lot of times we think is dying to the bad things in your life. Putting away the bad thing. When I say die to your flesh, some of you guys automatically think sin. Anyone in here? Yeah, I do too. I've always thought that forever. But last week we hit on this, and it's true. You're not just supposed to die about the bad things in your life. You're supposed to die to the good things as well. Jesus, he says something. How many of you guys have ever been in a fight? Anyone in here been in a fight before? Okay, wow. A lot of hands went up, y'all. How many of you guys are thankful the person who raised their hand is redeemed? Anyone in here thankful for that? Yeah, thank you, Lord. All right, listen, this is how fights work, man. If someone's swinging at you, what's the first reaction, and a good reaction, that you're going to do? Swing back? No, you defend yourself, you jokers. You're going to get knocked out swinging back right away, yeah. Let me just make this really clear, actually. I need to say this first. I've actually never been in a real fight, okay? And I'm actually weak. And I mean this. One time in eighth grade, a kid was trying to fight me. And I laughed because I thought he was joking, okay? And I thought, this is weird. Why are you trying to fight me? And I'm laughing, which just got him more heated. And he didn't swing on me. And I mean, he could have knocked me out. I was completely defenseless. So a week later, we're in the park. And after that, the kid's been really cool with me. I don't know what happened. We're just cool all of a sudden. And my brothers are with me. And I'm the youngest of five other brothers above me. And we're in the park. And I see the kid. And I tell my brothers, oh, that guy tried to fight me. Well, my brothers are good older brothers, so they went and they grabbed that kid. Yeah. And they surrounded him. Now, these are all grown men, okay? These are all like, these are not teenagers. These are grown men, and they pulled him in. This is how weak I am. I cried that they did that, okay? I said, no, don't do that, no, you know? So I know I'm talking about fighting here, and I'm not really qualified. I did watch a lot of UFC in 2008, though, so maybe I'm a little qualified. But what I do know is in your natural instinct, if someone swings on you, you either defend yourself or you run. It's called your fight or flight response. It's your natural instinct. And how many of you guys are actually thankful for your natural instinct? Anyone in here thankful for that? I am too. But this is what your flesh is, your nature, your natural way. And I want to pull this out because what I'm about to talk about living the new life, you can't live in your natural way anymore. Because this is what Jesus says. He says, if you get in a fight and someone hits you, he doesn't say fight. He doesn't say run away. He says, that's your nature. That's your flesh. He said, turn your other cheek. Well, that's not how you win a fight. And turning the other cheek, by the way, isn't like you get hit and you go, I'm out of here. That's not what turning the other cheek is. Turning the other cheek is offering yourself up, saying, hit this one too. You see, when I look at the scriptures, because I want to just kind of get away from something, when we talk about the flesh being bad, what you want to do is pick out the worst parts of you and say, yeah, I want those things to die. But Jesus is actually saying, no, I want your entire nature to die. Everything you think is what you're born into, what's your personality, who you are. He says, that thing has to die because I have a new life for you. And what I just read in Galatians, he says, man, when you walk in your flesh, in your natural way, flesh isn't key or code for the bad things in your life. It's code for who you are. He says, when you walk in who you are, your works are evident. Adultery. Why do you think pornography is so evident in people's lives? They don't want to give up who they are. Man, he says, fornication. Why do you think it's so hard for the church to give up sleeping together before marriage? Because it means they have to give up who they are. It goes on, because if I haven't stepped on your toes, I will here in a second. It says contentions. It says outbursts of wrath. This one I love because it's kind of an American way. Selfish ambitions. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to do me. Check this out, man. It goes on. Heresies. Envy. We need to do a sermon on envy one day. It's bigger than you think. Murderness, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. You know what he's saying? He says, man, this is what it looks like when you walk in you. last week, and this is just the recap. Last week, I told you stories about having an emotional affair and how my wife didn't walk out the way she could have. She could have walked out on me. She could have hit me with that brick, if you remember the story. She had the right. In fact, the way she treated me, every one of you would have said, you go, girl, you're queen, you get what you need to do. But she sat with the Lord for just a moment and said, what would you want me to do? And in doing so, you know what she did? If it's not clear, she said, I'm not going to walk in my flesh. I want to walk in the Spirit. Spirit of God, what do you want me to do? And now our marriage isn't full of dissensions and fornication and uncleanliness. No, no, our marriage is full of peace and joy and long-suffering and kindness. Now, I'm saying all that because when I talk about investing in the brand new, it's scary. Because I'm going to be real with you. Walking out this new life is not hard because it's a hard thing to do. It's hard because it's new. How many of you guys have ever tried to learn something new before? Anyone in here before? Yeah, man. How many of you guys suck at it still? Anyone in here? Yeah, I do too. I tried to learn the piano one time. Has anyone in here tried to learn the piano before? There's 88 different sounds that almost all sound alike. Isn't it crazy? And so I never learned, but I tried. And when you're new at something, I'm just going to give you some grace right off the bat. You're supposed to be pretty bad at it. Scripture says it's called immaturity in the spirit. You and I are supposed to walk out a new life, but I want to talk about this new life because everyone in here, God has joy for you. He has peace for you. He has long suffering for you. He has kindness for you. He has goodness for you. And you are supposed to live in the way that the entire earth is striving to do by getting money and getting relationships. And you're supposed to live it in a new way. And so he teaches us how to do it. And so I want you to look at your neighbor right now. I want you to look at him right in the eyeballs and say, you got to die so you can live. Oh, and well, I forgot. This is actually so important. This is really important. This very first scripture. Let me pause. I'm going to change gear for a second. And we're going to get back right on the subject here. I don't know if you guys noticed, but it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not walk in the flesh. Okay. A lot of us are trying to stop our flesh. You know, we don't want our flesh, our natural ways, to live out natural ways. So what we do for men and women when it comes to lust, what you do is you lock up your phone as much as you can. People walk by, you put your head down. Those are all good things. But the key to actually dying to your flesh is to walk out your new life. The key to letting those things that bind you up that you're going, man, how many of you guys got that one sin that if you didn't commit it, you would just be perfect? Who has that? Anyone in here? You guys know what I'm talking about. You've told God that before. You said, man, if I could get this one thing off of me. It says this, in that first verse, it says, man, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill. This is the truth. Last week, we talked about dying to the flesh, but the only way you could die to the flesh is if you do what we're about to talk about, which is walking in your new life. And this is what it means to walk in your new life. Look at your neighbor. Look at him one more time. Remember, it's about that person. Shake him a little bit. Shake him a little bit. Come on. Give him a little shake. It's about them. Go ahead. Don't look at me, guys. Stop looking at me. I see you. Look at Brock. Go ahead. Just shake him a little bit. And this is all you got to say to him. This is all you got to say to him. I want you to say this one little thing, all right? You don't live for you. Go ahead and say that to him. Now, come on. You don't live for you. The first thing I want to talk about in your brand new life and what you're supposed to walk out is that you are supposed to start investing and living for Jesus. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, start living for Jesus. Go ahead and start saying that. Now, let me make it clear. This ain't hard to say. It's just if you're new to it, it's going to be hard to walk out. But don't worry. When you practice, you will mature in this thing. You and I are supposed to live for Jesus. We're going to read a great scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All right? We're going to read this thing. I love it. And we're going to get right into this. But I just got to say this. Every one of y'all, well, okay, let me not be so harsh. Most of us are not living for Jesus. We've added Jesus. I love Jesus. How many of you guys love Jesus in here? Anyone in here? I love Jesus, all right? Now, but living for Jesus is not living for what you could get from Jesus. Now, this is a little confusing. So I'm going to talk about this first investment. And by the way, this new life is going to sound crazy, okay? I promise it sounds crazy, but just hang in there with me. To live for Jesus is to no longer live for yourself. To live for Jesus is to no longer live for yourself. This is the new life that you and I have been given. We no longer have to live for our fame. Our how many guys love to eat? Man, come on. Come on, let revival break out in this place. Yeah. I love eating. You no longer have to serve your stomach. You no longer have to live for your money. You no longer have to live for your success. You no longer have to live for you. Now, some of you guys are going, I don't know if that sounds good or not. I've been doing this for a long time. I kind of like living for myself, but I want you to hear me out. God gave his son on the cross to give you a new life. And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians 5, 12 through 21. I'm going to read a lot. Don't fall asleep. Tell your neighbor to stay awake. Go ahead and shake him. Go ahead and shake him. It says, for we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you an opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For we are besides ourselves. It is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all. And those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to their human nature, their flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Look at your neighbor and say, you're a new creation. Go ahead and tell him that. Old things have passed away. Time out. How many of you guys are thankful that your old ways have passed away? Anyone in here? Yeah, okay. I got some good believers in here. Man, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled, that means to bring back together, reconciled us to him through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Pause before I read that next verse. If you missed it, he's saying, now that you're a new creation, God has given you a new role. You have a new life, no longer for yourself, but you're going to take on the ministry that he started. And this is what his ministry was, that he came to reconcile. That means to fix a broken relationship, okay? That's what that means. To reconcile means you had a broken relationship with God. And he said, I sent my son so I can mend that relationship. And he says, and that ministry is now yours. That ministry, that call, and let me make it clear about a ministry, that's not an occupation. A ministry is a way of how you do life. And if I could get down on ministries for a second, some of us have been calling our success in the world our ministry. If I could do that, then I will be great. Some of us called parenting our ministry. I love parenting. That's great. But truthfully, the ministry is the reconciliation. And it says in the scripture, if you're a parent, your job is to give your kids the word of reconciliation. If you're at a job and you're successful, the point of being at that job is the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, though, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Look at your neighbor. Look at them. They no longer serve themselves. Not in this new life. They're no longer representing themselves. Listen, I love this outfit. Anywhere I go, and there's people stop me in this outfit. I do. I love this. I drop my kids off at soccer, right? And when I walked out, the coaches grabbed my kids and said, your dad always dressed like that? I don't. I kind of do, actually, at home, I guess. I do. I really do wear this at home by myself. Yeah, every time I wear it, I want to go, stop, collaborate, and listen. I said, doesn't it feel that way? Yeah, okay. If you don't know that song, you were born. Oh, gosh. Okay, I got one more thing to say. For all those who were born in the 2000s, Johnny said this to me, and it was offensive. And I think a lot of you guys will understand this. This is just a total side note. This has no importance. If you're taking notes, put your pen down. Don't write this down, all right? He said, well, yeah, but everyone who was born in the 1900s, that's what he said. Everyone born in the 1900s. I rebuked him. I said, don't you ever say that again, all right? That was messed up. Jerk. Anyways, it doesn't matter. That was not important. Verse 20, it says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. That means we have a new position. We no longer are living for our name, living for our comfort, living for our success. We're not doing that anymore. He says, now you're the representation of me. And this is what I am here for, to reconcile the world back to me. They were broken and lost in sin. I sent my son to preach the message. Hey, the kingdom's here and you're coming in if you want to come in. And then he sent them to the cross to die and then rose them up again. And he said, this is the ministry that you have. You have a new life. No longer do you worry about these things. And it goes on. It says, as though God, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God himself were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might, well, I got a misspelling, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm sorry, I couldn't, the word become was all jumbled up and it took me a second to figure out what I wrote. Listen, I want to say this really quick to you guys. You no longer in your new life have to represent yourself. Now that doesn't sound cool, because you've seen what other people have represented and you've envied that before. But I want to tell you a little secret. There's a freedom that happens when you lay down your life, like my friend Bill did, who came in, an atheist, saw the way of the Lord and said, you know what? I'm laying down everything I got. I'm not going to live for me anymore. And this is crazy, guys. He got baptized in October of last year. And he goes, I'm going to go out to the Middle East to minister to Iranians. And that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to lay down my life. And he's going to join a ministry called Live Dead, as in I'm already dead, so I'm going out there. And what he's saying is, I don't have to live for myself anymore. And do you see him? He's going, I've never had it this good. You see, the world's got you fooled. It says, live for yourself, live for yourself. It'll make you happy, it'll make you happy, it'll make you happy. But all you get is fornication, adultery, envy, and heresies and all these things and all the like. And that's all you end up with. And when you look at your life, you go, man, this is all I have. I mean, yeah, people think I'm great, but behind closed doors, I'm bound up. And we got a guy like Bill. You got a guy like my mom and dad. When they found Jesus, they laid everything down. And they said, I'm not just going to stop my flesh, but rather I'm going to pick up this new life and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm taking on the ministry of reconciliation. I want you to look at your neighbor really quick. They have a call. Go ahead, look at them, look at them, look at them. That person has a call in their life to represent Jesus. That's the life. That's the new life they've inherited. No longer do they have to be bound up about what people think about them. Do you know why I love dancing up? My wife gets called the church hype girl. That's what she gets called in church. Because during worship, she'll be jumping. And if you're behind her, she'll turn around and say, come on, guys. Like that, like a Mickey Mouse voice. You know, she's out of breath. And she's trying to get everyone hyped up. You know why she's doing that? Because she doesn't have to live for what you think about her anymore. There's a freedom that happens when you say, you know what? I'm not going to live for me anymore. I got a new life and that life is in him and I'm going to walk it out. There's a reason why people can shout and dance, because they say this. This is what they say. They say, I've laid down everything that deals with me. Now, let me make this clear. You can't dance and shout in church. No, don't get me wrong. If you're not dancing and shouting, this isn't a diss to you. It's okay. Some of you are like, Tom, I got a hurt hip. I'm not going to do it. That's fine. I'm with that. Some of y'all were just raised Baptists, and that's part of it, all right? And I'm not talking about Southern Baptists where you get down on the organ. I'm talking about the white Baptist, okay? That's what I'm talking about. All right, but check this out. You don't want to get undignified. You don't want to share the gospel with people when you live from your flesh. Can I say that again? Man, if you've had fear sharing the gospel, it's because you didn't want to let go of your flesh. You didn't want to let go of the natural part. And this goes way deeper, by the way. This goes way deeper. This goes into your personality. On Wednesday night, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Truthfully, the fruit of the Spirit is supposed to be the definition of who you are. Man, I'm someone who's joyful, kind, full of goodness. Did you know that's what you're supposed to describe you? Too many of us are going, yeah, but I got to live for who I am naturally. Let me see what my personality type is. That's who I am. And God's saying, no, lay it down. But I was born this way. Lay it down. That's not who you're supposed to be. Lay it down. But I always feel this way. It's because of my parents. Lay it down. Well, I act this way because of what happened at the church. Lay it down. God says, I got a new life for you, and you can't live in your flesh. Hang on, though. Hang on. It's not just about a new ministry, though, of reconciliation, because there's something else I got to tell you. Because here's the truth. I'm over here preaching this, and you're probably sitting there going, yeah, that sounds insane. How am I supposed to give up my life? How am I supposed to do that? Last week, we talked about that voice in your head that you hear every once in a while that keeps saying, give up more of your life to me. And you keep saying, I can't do that. It's impossible. You know, that story is that story about the young rich ruler. He says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And it ends up, Jesus says, sell everything you have and come follow me. You guys have ever read that story and just thought, well, that's, you immediately said, that's not for me. Now, that was a special incident. How in the world are we supposed to do this? Let me just tell you the return on investment on this thing real quick, if I can. It's Matthew 6:33. Jesus is up on this mount. He's preaching a sermon. And he says, hey, listen, don't worry or don't think about, don't fret about what you're going to wear. He says that. He says, and you know, it sounds almost stupid when you hear that. Yeah, why would I worry about what I'm going to wear? Then he goes on, he says, and don't worry about what you're going to eat. He says, don't worry about it. He says, look at the birds in the air. They have no storehouses. They got no farming. They got no trade. There's no import and export. He says, and every one of them is fed by me. In the book of Job, he says, man, I'm there with the deer while they're giving birth. I'm in the woods with them. He says, man, I am that present with my creation. This is who God says he is. He says, man, I take care. I love it. He says, the ravens. He doesn't say the beautiful parakeets. He says, the ravens. I just feel like he's saying that because he's going, I'm not just taking care of the beautiful ones. I'm taking care of the ugly ones. And he says, man, this is what I'm doing. I'm taking care of it. And he says, don't fret. Don't worry yourself with about what you're going to do. Later on, people say, I want to follow you. And he says, I have nowhere to lay my head. Just a heads up. I got nowhere to sleep. So if you follow me, be aware. I've given it all up. I live a different life. And this is what he says to them. After you're going all through that in Matthew 6:33, he says, man, don't seek after food. Don't seek after money. Don't seek even after your home. You don't need to seek after any of those things. And after he tells everyone about how to pray and how to treat your enemies, he says, but if you seek first the kingdom of God, that's the ministry of Jesus, and his righteousness, which is Jesus, he says, all these things shall be added to you. And let me tell you about a prosperity gospel really quick. I know there's a prosperity gospel out there where there's wolves in sheep's clothing who preach the word of God and take from the poor and build their own wealth off of poor people. I know that happens. But let me tell you about a real prosperity gospel. Jesus says, don't live in your flesh and follow me and I'll provide for you. The other prosperity gospel is saying, you have some, give it and he'll give you more. God says, no, lay everything down. And it's not about who you give it to. He says, lay it all down and follow me. This is the new life I have for you. And this is his promise. Dude, I'll take care of you. Have you guys ever tested this? I have. I'm going to tell you right now, he has never failed. So I want to get to that point because I got one more investment and I got to end on this thing. Number one, invest living for Jesus. That means your life is no longer about you. It's about him and the ministry you have. If you do it, he has a promise for you. He will take care of everything that your flesh wants to worry about. He says, I will clothe you and I will feed you. I will lead you and I'll show you joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, and love and self-control and all the rest. But that's not the only new life you have. I want you to look at your neighbor right now. Look at him. You're supposed to invest in that person too. Look at him. Go ahead and look at him. You have a call and a new life. And no longer do you live for yourself, but you live for Jesus. But check this out. You also live for that person. Look at him again. You guys do such a quick glance. I just say, you got to live for that person. Look at him. You got to live for that person. You're supposed to invest in living for others, for their sakes. For their sake and their needs, not your own. Well, how am I supposed to do that, Pastor Tommy? How am I supposed to live for them if I'm not set up and established? You guys ever hear the story that if the cook is starving, then everyone will starve? No, maybe I haven't heard that one because I made it up. Yeah, I got to take care of myself. I want to take care of others. Jesus says, no, let me take care of you. He says, no, lay it all down. Don't worry about your rest. I'll be your rest. He actually says that, by the way. So many of us are going, well, if I don't rest well, then I can't take care of others. He says, no, 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 I'm your rest. Come on, lean in on me. Lean in on me and I'll give you rest. Listen, he's called you to live for the person next to you. I got a bunch of scriptures. I'm going to fly through them. Galatians 5:13, for you, brethren, have not been called to liberty. I'm sorry, you have been called to liberty. That's freedom. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for your natural ways. I've been set free by Jesus. Now I could go make $1 million. He says, no, 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 don't do it for your natural ways, not for your flesh. He says, but through love, serve one another. Look at your neighbor and say, I need to serve you. Go ahead and tell him that. Tell him, I need to serve you. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. 1 Peter 4:10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Philippians 2:4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also the interest of others. John 13:14 through 15, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. There's so many scriptures on this. If I wasn't running out of time, I'd sit up here for 30 more minutes just reading scriptures to you. Basically, the entire ministry of Paul is this. He says, man, you could have freedom. You have freedom. This is one of my favorite. I'm landing on this. This is my end. Jesus, or Paul says this. He says, man, you got freedom. Listen, he says you could eat meat. That's what he says. And he actually says, I don't want you eating meat sacrificed to idols because it's a bad representation of the gospel. But he says, but if you do eat meat sacrificed to idols, it has no effect on you. You're free. He says, the only reason I don't want you to do that is because it could be a bad witness. He says, but it's okay. If you eat it, you're not going to die. You're going to be fine. There's only one God. And then he goes on to say, but some of your friends around this room, they have a hard time with people eating meat. And he says, if it makes your brother upset that you have freedom, he says, stop eating. Don't eat meat anymore. I told you guys last week, I got so many text messages about harassing the vegans in this place. And I apologize. I repent today, okay? Because it says this in scriptures. Paul says, man, this is about eating meat, by the way. This isn't even crazy big. He's a small subject. He said, if eating meat causes any one of my brothers to stumble in their walk, he says, I will never eat meat again. When's the last time you loved the person next to you so much that you made a declaration, if I make you stumble in this way, I'll never do it again? This is the life that we're called to. Jesus says, man, I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I washed your feet. Now you go wash other people's feet. This is the new life. You and I not just go, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I live for Christ. But the other part is, and I live for the person next to me. You know what happens when you do this? You know what happens when you decide, I'm no longer going to live for myself. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. He's going to be my provider. And in doing so and seeking out him, I can live for others and I can provide for others and I can take care of others. You know what happens when you do this? My last scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:9 through 14. For each are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed on how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver and precious stone, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I read that and you're going, I don't know what you just said. But let me just make it clear. He says, you've been given a new life. Jesus Christ has given you salvation. How many of you guys want to go to heaven? Anyone here want to go to heaven? I want to go to heaven. He says, man, this is your reward to go to heaven. But he says, this foundation that I've given you, this new way of life, he says, man, if you build on it with your gold and your silver, and you start building up on this life of Jesus, I'm a Christian, and you start building up for yourself, He said, there comes a day where there's a fire that happens. It's his return. It's his judgment seat. He says, everything that you have and everything that you built on the gospel of Jesus Christ, he says, it's going to be burnt up. And he says this, he says, if you put the good things on this foundation of Jesus, you decide, God, I'm living after you. I'm not going to live for my selfish ways. I'm going to live for you. God, I'm going to put on this foundation of Jesus Christ. I'm going to love others dearly. I'm going to lay down my life. He says, it will make it through the fire. And what he says is, then you will have rewards in heaven. And he says, but if it doesn't make it through the fire, and you look at all your deeds and how you lived, he says, though you might make it to heaven, you'll lose all your rewards. You'll enter into the kingdom of God, but there's not a crown for you. You might enter into the kingdom of God, but there's not a stone with your name on it. You might enter into heaven, and you'll be looking at everyone else going, look at that person. He laid his life down for everybody else, and look at the reward he has. You see, so many of us have thought that Christianity was just getting to heaven. And some of us, even, and this is true for a lot of you guys, you've considered heaven and thought, I don't even know if that sounds that great. It's because you don't know the depths of heaven. You don't know that it's not about just getting in. It's about being rewarded up there. It's about being before the Father and bringing all your works before him and saying, look at what I've done. It's not about just, God, I have your grace and I'm here. It's also presenting your life before him. And he says, I'm going to put that through the fire. And whatever you laid on this foundation that isn't of me, it's your flesh. He says, it's going to burn. He says, all what will remain is what I gave to you. Did you love others? Did you live for me? Did you give everything up? Did you trust me? Did you say, God, I'm seeking first your kingdom and your righteousness. I'm not going to trust in my natural ways. I'm not going to trust in my natural wisdom that's perverted. I'm not going to trust in my own nature. I'm not going to trust in how good my personality is. I want to know what you have for me, God. He's going to ask, did you every day walk? To walk in the Spirit means to continuously do it. Did you every day say, Father, I don't want to do what I want to do. What is it you have for me? God, in this fight with my spouse, what is it that you want me to say? God, in the circumstances of my finances, what is it that you have for me? I want to walk in your Spirit. I got a new life and I don't want to waste it. I got a new way of living and I don't want to waste it anymore. Listen, church, God didn't die so your flesh and natural ways could get to heaven. He died so that you could die, and he rose again so that you could have a new life. And that new life is in him. And he'll provide for you. He'll give you joy and peace and gentleness and kindness and self-control and love. And I want to say this. As believers, we've washed over the message of the gospel to kind of say, if you're good, you could come in. And we made the judgment on your flesh. We said, well, your flesh is exposed here and here. And we've made this thing a little bit upsetting to me as well, because I struggle a lot to say, God, I'm going to live for you and you alone. And I've justified it. That's what we talked about last week. The good parts of me, I was trying to celebrate before the Lord. Not knowing, I was just lifting up my flesh to him. And he said, that doesn't work in this place. That doesn't enter in this place. You and I are called to live a new life, a resurrected life, no longer bound to the person next to you's thoughts and fears, no longer bound to the idea of how we're gonna survive, no longer bound to fight or flight, but bound to him and his ways. Now you're an ambassador. Your new life, full of joy and peace. Your new life, full of gentleness and kindness. Your new life, full of love for the person next to you. Church, you've been made brand new. Don't let it be wasted when the fire comes. Let the rewards rise up in you. And say, Father, look what I presented today. Let your fire come in that day. I am yours. Why don't you stand to your feet? Every eye closed, head bowed. I'm going to just pray. Something real simple. But I'm going to do it a little different this time. Usually I have you raise your hand wherever you're sitting. And I said, hey, if you need prayer today, and what we're going to be praying for today is if you need help to live the new life, that you've taken Jesus and you've been wanting to die to your flesh, but today you need some help and you're going, man, I want to walk out this new way of life. I want to trust what he says. And you're in this house and you're going, man, that's me. I need help. I've been walking in my flesh for a long time, but today I want to walk in the spirit. I'm going to pray over you. And my prayer is going to be real simple. But I was talking to my dad on Tuesday. He said, Tom, there's a power at the altar that happens when it's more than just raising your hand, but you walk down to an altar, and the altar represents something. I don't know if you guys know this, but the altar represents the giving away of what you have to receive from him. And so today, what I want to do, if you're in the house today and you're going, man, I want prayer that I would be helped, that I would walk out my new life, that my salvation wouldn't just be getting into heaven, but there would be great things that make it through the fire, that I'd be someone who trusts that God will take care of me if I just follow after him, that I would be his ambassador. I need help. I want to be his ambassador. I want to walk the new way. I want to love others crazy. You need that help. This is what I'm going to do. If you're not coming up, keep your heads bowed. But if you want prayer, I want you to come up to the front. Come all the way up to the front. Come on, you can do it right now. If you want that prayer, I want you to come up to the front. And if you're thinking, man, we're going to be up here a long time, we're not. You just hang in there. Hang in there. I want you to come to the front. Come on. Come all the way up. Come on. Come on. Come on. What we're going to do, this isn't for me. This is for you. I want you to use that altar as a place of saying, God, I'm laying it down today. I'm not. And listen, the altar doesn't have to be the booth, man. It could be anything. I just want you to say, God, I'm laying down my natural ways today. Man, I brought my sacrifice in. I want to give you everything I have, even the good things. I want to lay it down today. Father, I'm praying right now with you, my brothers and sisters. Oh, Father, we don't want the new life to go to waste, Jesus. Oh, we don't want the new life to go to waste, Jesus. Oh, Father, we want to be ambassadors, living not for our own gain, but for the glory of you, Jesus. Oh God, we count, like Paul says, all that I earned in my flesh, all the knowledge. Oh God, it's rubbish to us, Jesus. If we don't preach you and you crucified, then we're not singing out who you are, God. Oh God, we're praying right now, Holy Spirit, the fire of God, start burning within us. Oh God, we're praying for the new life that you've presented to us. Oh God, we're praying for the new way of walking that doesn't look like the world, but is full of everything they seek, joy and peace and gentleness and kindness and love and self-control. Oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, oh Jesus, new life, Jesus. Oh Father, new life, make us brand new again, Jesus. Oh, our flesh, we've been presenting our flesh to you, Jesus. You say even the good things in your flesh are like dirty rags. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus.
If you were encouraged by today's message, be sure to share it with your friends and family that they might also be encouraged. We are so excited that you chose to grow in God's word with us today, and we hope that you'll make plans to join us again. We believe that you were not made to walk this life alone. So if you can, come see us at the Atlanta Dream Center Church, Sundays 10 a.m. and Wednesdays 7 p.m. If you'd like to support this ministry, find out more about who we are, or listen to previous sermons, log on to www.dreamcenterchurch.com for more information. Thank you for listening. Now let's go do the great things God has called us to do.